But it was beautiful. Once you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. We're going to be reading there in just a moment. You know, sometimes people ask me, you know, why give to missions? Why stress missions? Why go set goals and increase the goals? I remember several years ago, I think it was my first year at Russellville Baptist, we had set a goal of $1,000 for Lottie Moon. And we received the offering during the month, and we came up at the end of the month and we were a little bit short. I think we'd got like $800 or something like that. And somebody made a motion at the monthly end business meeting to take the money out of the budget to just go ahead and get $1,000 to make our goal. And I thought that was a great idea. We did that, so we made our goal that way. But I remember one fella came up to me after the service. He said, "I can't believe you." I said, "What?" He said, "You set a big goal for missions money, and then you don't get it, and then we do have to take the money out of the budget to make it, and next year all you're going to do is up the goal." I said, "Yep." I said, "But you don't have to give a dime if you don't want to. It's all up to you." But I'm going to stress missions because God wants people to come to know the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when we give so others can go, it's following after God's own heart. Why would Paul here in this passage of Scripture acknowledge and encourage the giving of the Philippians? We're going to look at that, but I ran across a little story several years ago from one of our missionaries. I just want to read it to you. Alila stood on the beach holding her tiny infant son close to her heart. Tears welled in her eyes as she began slowly walking toward the river's edge. She stepped into the water and silently making her way out until she was waist deep, the water gently lapping at the sleeping baby's feet. She stood there for a long time holding the child tightly as she stared out across the river. Then all of a sudden, in one quick motion, she threw the six-month-old baby to his watery death. Native missionary M.V. Varghese often witnesses among the crowds who gather at the Ganges. It was he who came upon Alila that day kneeling in the sand, crying uncontrollably and beating her breast. With compassion, he knelt down next to her and asked her what was wrong. Through the sobs, she told him, "The problems in my home are so many. My sins are heavy on my heart. So I offered the best I have to the goddess Ganges, my firstborn son." Brother Varghese's heart ached for the desperate woman. She wept. He gently began to tell her about the love of Jesus, and that through him her sins could be forgiven. She looked at him strangely. She said, "I have never heard that before. Why wouldn't you have come 30 minutes earlier? If you did, my child would not have had to die." Folks, time is short and the need is urgent. And Paul knew that. And in chapter 2 and verse 5 of Philippians, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So I want to read this short passage of Scripture, and I want to look at some of the things there. Why Paul encourages and stresses to the Philippians to be giving to the work of the Lord. You found it in God's Word, and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Paul writes, "Now you Philippians know, also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And amen." Father, we thank you this morning. We have hope because of what Jesus did. Lord, we realize that there's people around the world who have no hope. They're worshiping false gods and idols and seeking everywhere and anywhere for some kind of assurance and hope and peace and salvation. Lord, help us to be about giving that others would know. Help us to be about going and others would hear. Help us to be about your work that one day every tongue and tribe and kindred and nation will gather around your throne and worship and praise you for all eternity. Help me to share your word this morning that your will be done in all of our hearts. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. And amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice the first thing Paul kind of highlights to him is the rewards of missions giving. In verse 15 through 17, he talks about how they're giving and how what it did for them and what it did for him. He said, you sent once again to my necessity. And he reminds us of why we're to give here. You notice that he says that there will be fruit. I ask the gift that I seek the fruit that abounds to your account, the reward, the fruit. John chapter 15, Jesus talks, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And he talks about you, if you will go and bear fruit for me. And then he says you would bear much fruit. And then he goes on to say more fruit for me. Paul wanted to see the fruit. He wanted to see the furtherance of the gospel. He wanted to see salvations. He wanted to see baptisms. He wanted to see lives change. He wanted to see people come to know the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you just a few statistics. I'll just pull this off the IBM IMB website this week, so you can look them up if you want. Of the Lottie Moon offering in our for international missions to the Southern Baptist Convention, 56% of the IMB budget comes from the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. That offering last year in 2016 was $153 million. The total budget for our missionaries is $270 million. That's for the whole organization. We right now currently support 3,612 missionaries, and those 3,612 missionaries recorded 93,022 baptisms. They started 6,138 new churches. They're currently involved in 42,704 churches. Now, that may not mean a lot to you. There's the numbers up there. I should have brought my little highlighter and showed it. But if you take those number of baptisms by the number of missionaries and you divide it out, you come up with a total of 26 baptisms per year per missionary. Now, let me just flip that back a minute. Let's say we average 50 in Sunday school a year. If we average 50 in Sunday school and each one of us was responsible for 26 baptisms, you know how many baptisms Fairfield Baptist Church would have next year? 1,300. They're doing a great work. But you notice something else. Down to the next, the third line up, unreached people groups not engaged, 3,203. The one before that, people groups engaged by IMB personnel, 872. What is an unreached people group? Well, it's a people group that are less than 3% of them know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you may not be familiar with that term. There's a lot of unreached people groups in the world, a lot of people groups. You know, we typically talk about, we see somebody who's Hispanic, we say they're Latino, they're a Mexican or anything. But you know, there's a lot of different people groups just within the Hispanic community. Some from Guatemala, some are from Nicaragua, some are from Puerto Rico, some from Cuba, some from Mexico, some from South America. They're all different people groups. Matter of fact, if you go into just certain areas, there's something like 300 different languages that's just spoken in New York. Different people groups there. But they've identified these, the IMB has, and there's less than 3% Christian in these groups. They've identified 872 that we're currently sending missionaries to, currently working with them. I know some missionaries that I knew from Kentucky. They're over in Vietnam right now working with people. But you know, you see there are 3,203 unreached, unengaged. That means there are people groups out there that nobody's even going to. Nobody's even sharing the gospel. There's a lot of people groups in China that live up in the mountains and they have foothills in the Himalayas. We don't even have enough missionaries to send people to them yet. When I went up to Whitney and Brian's commissioning service in Richmond back in November the 21st, I met a young couple there that was in their, what they call their quad. They have little apartment complexes and they'll have one main room for everybody and then like four little rooms for the families there while they're going through their training. And this young couple was going to Nepal. Had a little 10-month-old baby boy running around there, just trying to get ready to walk. He was pulling up on stuff. And I got talking to them about where they're going. They're going to Nepal. You may not know much about Nepal. Nepal is basically Hindu. And in October, in Nepal, the government passed a law that said anybody caught sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ was automatically sentenced to 5 years in prison. Didn't matter if you were American, didn't matter who you were, you're going to jail for 5 years. That came out in October. Just finished their training. They're planning on going to Nepal. They've been commissioned to go to Nepal. I asked him about that. You know what he said? Yeah. God's called us. We're going to go. We're going to go to Nepal and share with the gospel. We're just going to have to be careful. Best we can. But you know that their conviction to go to share the gospel. Would you go to cross the street if you knew that if you got caught, you're going to jail for 5 years? Hello? But they're unreached. Do we see it as fruit for the kingdom when we go and we give and we share? And our giving produces fruit because people like them can go. And you know, without our giving, many of them are forced home. You know, it wasn't just 3 or 4 years ago. We had 5,500 plus missionaries on the foreign field. But because of budget cuts and all that, and we didn't have enough money, they had to bring a lot of them home early. Whitney was in China for supposedly a 3-year term. She had to come back just a little, about right under 2 years because of budget shortcomings. See, there's the rewards. That there's going to be fruit, though, when we give and people go. People are going to come to know Jesus Christ because you and I share the gospel. There will be fruit. But you will have treasure in heaven, too, Paul says. He says in verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. In other words, like Jesus was talking about, and when you give, it's like rewards laid up in heaven where there's no moth that comes in and eats it up, or no rust that corrupts it, no thieves that break through and steal. You might say, well, I'm not interested in rewards. I'm not interested in prizes. Heaven will be enough for me. You know, I don't know about you. I love sports, and if you ask the University of Kentucky, University of Tennessee to play every year, play all their games, but don't play to win and don't play for any championships. How many wouldn't want to play? Hello? I mean, we play because that's the fun of competition, to win. The reward of the victory. Oh, well, how about put it this way? How about you go to work and your jobs, and we do, and we go to work and we say, you know, boss, I don't want any raises. Matter of fact, I don't even want any pay. I just love coming to work. How many takers we got? No, we desire a reward, a recompense of what we do. See, the question comes, what kind of treasure are we laying up with our giving? Notice two missionaries will be encouraged. Paul was encouraged by their giving. But you know, it's not gravy for them. They're not seeking riches. One of the things that was brought to my knowledge again just this past week, I read in the little thing about Whitney and Brian buying furniture. You know, the IMB paid for them a little house. It's kind of a more of a 3-bedroom apartment, condo, you might kind of say. And they bought them a couch and a table and a bedroom, a bed. But that's all the IMB had in their budget for them. You want a TV? Comes out of your own pocket. You want pots and pans when you sold everything to go overseas? You didn't bake anything with you. You want pots and pans, lady, to cook with? You got to go buy it yourself. You want some blankets to throw on your bed? You got to go get those. You want curtains for your windows? You got to go get them yourself. Why? Because we're not giving enough to supply the needs like that of our missionaries. They're having to take it out of their own pocket. And they don't mind because God's told them to. You know, we got all the needs that we need. But when we give, they know that we're supporting them. You know, there's missionaries right now getting up in different parts of the world, and I know two particular are doing this, getting up at all hours of the night so they can Skype back with their home church and say a word about Lottie Moon and how much they appreciate their giving. Let me tell you something else that I learned several years ago. When we went over to China, a couple of mission trips over there, Lottie Moon is going on in the States and their churches. Guess what the Mary Missionaries is doing during December? they're receiving a Lottie Moon offering. They're giving themselves to support their work. Now, here's the thing that blew me away. We don't have that many missionaries in China, but you know what the missionaries in the, what they call Southeast Asia there, you know what they give? Over $25,000 to support their own work. I don't know, that convicted me. That convicted me that they would give to support their own work because it was part of God's kingdom and God's work. And when we give, it encourages them. And Paul said there's a reward when we give to missions and we do the things that he's called us to do. But notice, too, there's a reason here in verse 18 he gives us for this missions giving. See, indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You know, missionaries are supported when we give. Paul's needs were met, we see here. He could stay on the field. He didn't have to work. He can concentrate on the ministry that God had called him to. And our SBC missionaries are supported all over the world because of our giving. Part of it comes through the cooperative program. We give the cooperative program. A percentage of that goes to the IMB to support the missionaries. And that's where part of the administrative costs come from. But the Lottie Moon goes 100%. I remember when I first started preaching, I came out of an independent Baptist church. Any of you who've been in an independent Baptist church, maybe you know how all that works, but independence basically, when somebody feels like God's called them to go on the mission field, they will go before churches and come around on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. They will present their call and where they're going to. I'm going to Spain, I'm going to Portugal, I'm going to Norway, or wherever it is. And they'll ask the church to support them. They call it going on deputation. And this family will go around to churches maybe a year or 2 years to finally raise enough support of churches giving $25, $50 a month till they can go to the mission field. And I knew that concept. I didn't know about the cooperative program. I didn't know about Lottie Moon when I became a Southern Baptist pastor in 1990. And I was trying to figure out which is the best way to do churches individually supporting missionaries, or all the churches going together, putting all their money in a pool and sending out missionaries by the thousands. Now, I remember James Williams, who was our director of missions at that time, put together a world missions conference for all our churches and the association, and we contacted all the missionaries that we had stateside for vacation or off on leave for a little while to come. And it was back in the early 90s. All these missionaries came into our churches for like every night for like three or four nights in a row, sharing their ministries. But I remember we had one guy on Sunday night who was from Argentina, one of our SBC missionaries. Now let me give you a little background to that. I just got through listening to Larry Burkett on the radio for Christian Financial Concepts, and he was talking about Argentina was in a state of hyperinflation. Their economy was going crazy. A loaf of bread cost $1 one day. Next day it cost $2. I mean, things were going through the roof. People couldn't afford it. It was chaos. And when this missionary comes in, he says he's from Argentina. I corner him and I say, I got to ask you a question. I'm reading and hearing inflation is going out of this world in Argentina. He said, yeah, it is. He said, it's crazy. I said, what are you doing? How do you manage when something costs two or three times what it did just a couple weeks before? How do you purchase it? He said, well, the IMB is adjusting our salary every month. And he said, I think they adjusted it every 2 weeks there for a while to make sure that we had enough money to live on. I thought, that's pretty good. I like that. I said, what about the independent guys? He said, well, they've had to come home. They didn't have enough money to live there, and they don't have a work visa to go to work. They can't work there, so they had to come home. Folks, when people around the world and we supporting them and they're there and anything like that happens, our International Mission Board takes care of them. And I praise God for that. Amen. Also, I was talking to him and he shared with me about one of a family down there. Somebody had gotten sick, some kind of, maybe a thing like Roger or Rodney, some kind of a tumor or something. And they were going to have an emergency surgery. And they went to the doctor in the hospital and they said, it's going to cost $20,000. Remember, this was 20 years ago. It's going to cost $20,000 to do this surgery. And they said, well, we got insurance. No, we don't take insurance. We're going to have the money up front. And this was a life or death matter. And our missionaries wired the International Mission Board, laid out all the thing for them. Guess what? They had $20,000 in the hospital's hand the next day to have the surgery. That's because of giving like me and you. That's because of our giving. You know, there's a reason that we can support them. There's a reason that we do what we do. And our giving supplies their need, whatever. And you might say, well, it's personal for you. It's Whitney and Brian. You've got a daughter in there and you've got a son-in-law. Yeah, that's true. But it was a prior for me when Whitney was about 8 and 9 years old. Some of you may know Russell Noy up at Russell Baptist. Russell's a fine young man. He's a teacher at Walter State now, but at that time he was about 18, 19 years old, a senior at East High School, probably 17. He was on the pulpit committee at Call Me at Russell Baptist. And of course, the whole committee went around the table asking me questions, and Russell asked me, what do you think about missions? I don't remember what I said to Russell. But 10 years later, they were having some kind of a celebration for my 10th year anniversary up there, and some different people were coming to the pulpit and saying things about me all nice. I thought, well, y'all need to quit lying on me. I'm not really that nice. But I remember Russell got to the pulpit, and he brought back that memory. He said, when I was on the committee as a young man, I didn't know what to ask him. So I asked Steve, what do you think about missions? And he looked and he kind of grinned. He said, I think we all know the answer to that now. Why do I have such a heart for missions? Because I want to have Jesus' heart. I want to have Jesus' heart because he's concerned with missions. Jesus is the one that says, go ye therefore into all the world, take the gospel to every creature, teaching them and commanding them to do all things whatsoever I commanded you. That's why I have that heart, because I want my heart to be like his heart. I want my mind to be like his mind, don't you? And notice Paul says your God's going to be well pleased, a sweet smelling aroma. It's the picture of the priest lighting the altar of incense and the scent rising up to heaven. Our Christian giving pictures that, a sweet smelling aroma to God. It's a way of worshiping, offering sacrifices to him. You know, part of our worship is giving and giving sacrificially. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 43 and 44, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Jesus commended that. He was pleased with that. It reminds me of when Jesus was baptized and God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God's pleased with obedience. You see, the reason we support missions is to please God. See, there's the rewards Paul talks about. There's the reason we give. And then there's the return of mission giving in verse 19, 20. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, we hear so much on TV today about long-term and short-term investing and investing in the news. You get quick returns and some things are volatile and sometimes you can lose it all. And I remember back, it was about 20 years ago, too, somebody out in Colorado started up one of these .com companies, an internet company, and somehow or another, people in Morristown got connected up with it, and people in Morristown were giving this guy tons of money to invest in this new company. They were going to make millions and millions of dollars over it, and the company went bankrupt before it ever got off the ground, and $2 million were lost by people in Morristown. That's not a good investment, amen? Maybe some of you remember that. You know, there's quick return, volatile investing. But you know, what I read, long-term investing is the best of all. Companies like Walmart and Lowe's, you can invest in those, and over time, they continue to increase. They get better and better. They bring you sure, steady returns for your retirement. See, here's the deal. We can invest in temporal things and they're going to burn one day. We can invest in eternal things that will last forever. And we can invest in the kingdom of God, and God invests in us. When we give to his work, he gives to us that we can give to others. That's what he says here. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You and I give. God gives to us that we can give more. Our needs will be met, Paul says. He shall supply all your need, not your desires, not your want, not the things maybe you and I are coveting after, but the things we need. God supplies the need. He said, you supply their need to the missionaries, and God will supply your need. You know, the longer I work with God, the less I worry about money. Why? Because he's been faithful. Paul said, you met my needs. God's going to supply all of yours. And we will be blessed. Remember, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will he put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, there's the blessing of seeing Jesus work. They gave from their poverty, and God gave from his riches. I read a little story several years ago. Arnold Palmer was a great PGA golf legend, died not too long ago. But then I read this story, but they invited Arnold Palmer to one of these countries over in the Saudi Arabia kind of area, Dubai or wherever that was. And, you know, those places are filthy rich from oil and everything. And they invited him to come over and give a golf exhibition at one of their courses. Arnold Palmer obliged and came over and did the thing. And the king was there, that country, and he was so impressed with him, and he proposed to Arnold Palmer and said, I want to give you a gift. Arnold Palmer said, hey, it really isn't necessary, Your Highness. I'm just honored to have been invited. No, you're going to offend me if you don't allow me to give you a gift. I'm going to be deeply upset. Palmer said, all right, how about give me a golf club? Next day, the king delivered to Arnold Palmer's hotel a deed to a golf club in his country. Did you get that? Arnold Palmer was just talking about one club. The king gave him a whole country club. Why? Because the king gave out of his riches. You know, God gives out of his riches. His riches are unlimited. He's not going to run dry. He's not going to come up short. He's not going to run out. Whatever the need is, God will meet it if we do what he's called us to do. And he says, Jesus will be honored, a sweet-smelling favor, your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This picture I want to show you. Y'all remember him? The Beatle, one of the founding members of the Beatles. He died of cancer back in 2001. After he died, he had his body cremated and his ashes sprinkled on the Ganges River in India. See, George was a converted Hindu. He believed in reincarnation. And British newspapers said this about him when he died. He spent the last months chanting Hare Krishna with his family next to him in pictures of Hindu gods Rama and Krishna near his bed. George Harrison's in hell. Here's the deal about that, though. In India, there are over 1 billion people, billion, not million, billion people who are 80% Hindu, only 2.4% Christian. And the question comes to this. Will their death be in vain, or Jesus' death be in vain if they don't hear? He died for them. Hello? Jesus died for all people, amen? If they don't hear, will his death be in vain? Will it be wasted? And if we don't give so that others can hear, will it be just a futile effort? Will we have missed the opportunity? You know, I thought about taking up the Lottie Moon offering after I shared this with you. But maybe you didn't give this morning, or maybe you didn't give enough, and God's saying, I need to give more. Like I said, anytime during the month, you can give. Let me tell you, on the authority of God's word and personal experience, every dollar that you give to get the gospel out, God will give you back more good measure pressed down and running over. You won't miss it, amen? And what a great time it will be. Maybe you come up to heaven one day, you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you stand before the throne, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and running to you like the song, Thank You, that we sing. It says, thank you because you gave to that missionary. They told me about Jesus, and I'm here today because of you. And they just give you a big old hug. I look forward to that day, don't you? Father in heaven, thank you that you allowed somebody to share the gospel with us so we could know the good news of your salvation. But Lord, there's so many. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And Lord, we need to give that there'll be more laborers sent into the harvest. We need to pray for more laborers. Lord, we need to go ourselves. Lord, help us to give everything to you. It all belongs to you anyway. It all comes to you. It all goes to you. It all returns to you one day. Lord, help us to be a child of God who has a heart after their father's heart. We'll give you praise for what you do. Pray for our missionaries this morning all over the world. Lord, I pray that you just strengthen and encourage them, not only through our giving, Lord, but through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd send them fruit for their labor. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage them. Give them health, strength, grace, and wisdom. Lord, I pray for Whitney and Brian as they are getting settled into their new country and they're trying to make build relationships to share your new good news. Lord, I pray you just make them fruitful. Bless them, Lord. Bless them all, I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. You know, everything I said has basically been to the church this morning, but maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never been born again of His Spirit. You never repented of your sins and trusted Him and His death on the cross for your sin. And you've been born again. You don't know what it is to be forgiven and know God's love and mercy and grace. No better time than this morning, just the minute we have this invitation, just come say, Pastor, I need to be saved.